life today.
Thanksgiving is a week away, and food banks across the country say they're overwhelmed by high demand. A lot of people pulling up who are obviously middle class. The University of California says okay to a 32% tuition hike. Students not happy. My goodness, the cost of an education this day. How many people will have to say, forget it, I cannot afford it? It's not like I'm going to be a doctor or a lawyer or anything. I'm talking about an average BA. In the meantime, one of the big stories on the day has to be a look inside Fort Hood. The latest, the Pentagon announcing that Fort Hood, the procedures and whatnot, will be reviewed, you think? And that's where we start. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, America Tonight. Coming up, by the way, another 10 minutes. Very excited about our guest who spent a lot of time on tour with some of the greats in rock and roll. We're talking stories about the Stones, drug runs for Keith Richards, for example, hanging out with Eric Clapton and his bevy of beauties. I'm sure the stories are quite interesting. So we'll lighten the load a little bit. And lightening the load, also in our third hour, don't forget we have Nail the Score. What will the game of the week be? Our computer randomly picks whatever that is in the NFL. Could it be the Saints, who might end up with a perfect season, another 16-0 team? Remember what happened to the Patriots. So that's in our third hour. But first, as I said, the Pentagon announcing finally this Fort Hood review, looking into what's going on, for example, at not only that military installation, but others. But specifically, let's stick with Fort Hood. And our Defense Secretary, Robert Gates, is putting a couple people in charge of this, which I think is actually a smart thing. Get a couple of different opinions. It includes a former U.S. Army Secretary, a former Navy Chief, to give a broad range of possibilities of different things they might uncover. It's a 45-day review, so this is good, too. There's a beginning and an end. It's not going to go on and on and on, because we know how the administration likes to strategize forever when we're sitting on the edge of our seats. They're going to look into how the military identifies service people who might be a threat, a la, obviously, Major Hassan. And they're also going to look at personnel and medical programs and how U.S. bases in general are able to respond to mass casualty incidents. Almost like those, you know, they do them in different cities. They do these drills where they'll bring in media people and they'll pay them for a day and emergency personnel and find out if there was a major eruption, an earthquake, a fire, a shooter, whatever, how a particular area would respond. Well, same thing with the base. I can tell you, let people walk around with the guns again. Remember, Clinton's administration took that away, where you couldn't have the handgun on base unless you were an MP, of course. And we'll get to that, more specifics on that, too. And it is going to go well beyond Major Hassan, the Army psychiatrist who gunned down 13 people and sits accused of that, certainly, and wounded more than 30 back on November 5th. They're still looking at the intelligence, linking everything together from the FBI and the CIA, which was announced earlier in the week, his contacts with a radical Islamic cleric overseas, some of the concerns by colleagues years ago, and whether everybody had that information and did they act properly. And how do you decide acting properly? It means, really, was everybody afraid to speak up for the political correctness cloud that hovers above the military and, let's face it, many other corporations and whatnot across the country. I mean, I don't care what someone's religion is or what they look like. If somebody's off kilter and you can tell it and you can see it and you can feel it and you can link things together with reports, et cetera, some type of evidence chain, then you need to say something, right? For fear that who knows what happens in the end. Now, speaking of that, here's an interesting thing. While that 45-day review has been ordered, and you have the two guys, the former Navy bigwig and a former Army bigwig looking into it. Here's some other stuff that now has come out. There is a major emailing going back and forth, including this one. Major Hassan sent this to the radical imam that we've mentioned off and on for the last couple of weeks. And in the email, the gist of it is, he says, "I can't wait to join you in the afterlife." So the shooter, Hassan, asked this cleric, when is jihad appropriate, apparently? And this is obviously a giant link to, ooh, okay, he might have been a lone terrorist, but a terrorist, no doubt, in pouring through these 18 emails that went back and forth between Hassan and the radical imam over a six-month period. And this was between December 2008, last December, and June 2009. A lieutenant who's a military analyst says it sounds like kind of code words. He's either actually offering himself up, which is what we see on the surface when we hear those words, or he's already crossed the line in his mind, and it's a question of what is he going to do? When is it appropriate? When is it permissible? If there are innocents killed in a suicide attack, all of that stuff was in these chain of emails. My question is, when did they discover these chain of emails? Was it after confiscating his computer, after the fact of what happened at Fort Hood, or is this some of the stuff that the FBI was looking at? The feds also found that Hassan donated $20,000 to $30,000 a year to overseas Islamic charities. And as an army major, which some people questioned originally, there were actually people coming out and saying, oh, he lived in just a really cheap apartment, he drove a ratty car, I feel so bad for him. And then, of course, his salary was over $92,000, and he had that money if he was living well beyond, below his means, rather, to write those big checks. So now it's tracing the money. It's always what we say, following the money. And there's a number of Islamic charities that have been pinpointed by our guys as conduits to terror groups. So they're trying to link that and find out what the deal is there. Two FBI task forces in D.C. and in San Diego received the messages but said they were innocent, at least some of them. Again, I go back to the specifics of the jihad, when is it appropriate, all that. Did they deem that specific one was innocent, or were there some of the others? So, of course, on the Hill, this is a perfect opportunity for many of the senators who are going to question, look, what happened here? We know that Senator Joe right away, Senator Joe Lieberman, who chairs the Senate Homeland Security Committee, said that he pinned it on the fact that it looked like he was radicalized, etc., lone terrorist, whatever, right away, and got blasted for that when it had first happened, that he didn't wait and he didn't see how it was all going to fall out. But, he wasn't afraid to connect the dots, and now this is exactly what they're seeing and what they're doing as you hear more of these emails. I didn't even realize they were this potent. I thought it was more undercover language. To me, it seems pretty obvious what was going on here. Was he, was he almost a member of Al-Qaeda? What was the story about Hassan? And by the way, he was also worried about results of a recent HIV test, according to some of those emails. All right, so we'll dive more into that a little bit later on ATN. But next, as I said, as promised, tour manager to many superstars in the music industry with fabulous stories, Chris O'Dell next here on the show.
Most people know that drinking pure high alkaline pH water is the most important factor in maintaining high energy and vibrant health. Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals. Using plasma pH drops is the best way to make your water alkaline to help you get rid of acid and regain your health and energy. Simply put 10 drops in the water you drink to raise the pH to a healthy level. Alkalizing water helps your body rid itself of acidic waste and increases the oxygen content of your body. Disease organisms like bacteria, viruses, and cancer cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops now by going directly to AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776 today.
This is Jerry Pierce, the radio detective. Have you heard of the Millionaire Patriot? Well, you should. He has a free handgun and 5 days of firearm training waiting for you. That's right. You can attend 5 days of world-class gun training at Front Sight Firearms Training Institute and secure a 30-state concealed weapons permit, all for pennies on the dollar. Plus, if you act fast, the Millionaire Patriot will give you a free Springfield Armory XD pistol in the caliber of your choice. Now is the time you and your family need to be armed and trained to levels that exceed law enforcement and military standards. Front Sight provides such training without any boot camp mentality or drill instructor attitudes, and the Millionaire Patriot's paying his own money to help you get it. This is real. Thousands have already taken advantage of it, and you should too. Don't miss out. Secure a Front Sight defensive handgun course plus 30-state concealed weapons permit for pennies on the dollar. And get your free handgun. Go to frontsight.com today. That's FrontSight.com. Go to frontsight.com for your training and free gun.
A question for you. Do you know what is in the air you're breathing? Do you know what chemicals are placed in the water you drink? Would you like to combat these intrusions? I'm not just talking toxins. I'm talking about chemicals that are harmful. Maybe now you understand why you feel tired so much. Change your life with Life Change Tea. Cleanse from toxins and chemicals and lose weight. Receive energy. There is no better investment than your body. Log on to GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Or you can call us at 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. Friendly operators will take your order and answer your questions. Be set free and live better. GetTheTea.com.
Imagine being in the studio when the Beatles recorded the White Album, Abbey Road, and of course you hear all the Beatles songs all day long across America, or even Let It Be. How about singing in the background on the final cuts of Hey Jude? Man, the stories must abound by this lady. Chris O'Dell joins us now here on America Tonight, and she's written an interesting book, and it's Miss O'Dell, My Hard Days and Long Nights with the Beatles, the Stones, Bob Dylan, Eric Clapton, and the women he loved. Chris, thanks so much for coming on the show with us. We appreciate it.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
And let's talk about the Beatles first, because that had to be quite an experience for you. What was, I guess, just describe for us, what was that like?
Working with the Beatles in 1968,
yes.
It was pretty amazing. It was the hub of everything that appeared to be going on, certainly at that time, for young people.
Yeah, and you were one of the first female tour managers, I should back up and say that, in the music business, which, I mean, you were a glass ceiling breaker, let's face that. And so you were there for these private, personal, incredible moments with these guys. Did you know when you heard the Beatles, when you were there and listening in the studio, you knew they were, like, beyond, they were just going to go the distance even further than anyone could imagine?
You know, at that time, I had no clue they would last this long. I mean, they were pretty, at that point, they were very, very popular worldwide. But who knew that we would be listening 40 years later to the same music?
And okay, that's what I said, it's crazy. And hey, Jude, what happened there? Did they say, hey, got some people in the studio, you want to sing on this thing, or what? What happened
More
there?
Or less, I was sitting in the control room because I booked the sessions a lot of the time, so I'd spent a lot of time there, and Paul came up and said, hey, come on down, we need you. And I said, for what? And he said, to sing, we're going to sing. And I'm like, I don't sing. I schedule. And he said, well, it's okay. Come on down anyway. So I did, reluctantly, I might add.
Yeah, that has to be one of the best memories you have of the Beatles. But what are some of the other recollections? If you could tell us one story, a Beatles story, what would you tell us?
Well, you know, I think there are a few, but being up on the roof when they sang their final, what was to be their final concert together was a pretty amazing moment. And I actually wasn't supposed to be up there because the employees of Apple weren't allowed up there. The roof was not, it wasn't really safe. It was falling in. And so it was all reinforced. And so I managed to get my way up there. And it was just an amazing day. It was freezing cold up there. But it was an amazing, you know, however long it was, it seemed like it happened in about 3 minutes and suddenly it was over. But in fact, I know it wasn't. It was a lot longer than that. But that was a pretty amazing time with them.
Yeah, no kidding. And then you became pretty good friends at the time with George Harrison's wife, too, Patty Boyd, later, right?
Yes, right.
And so obviously you knew George pretty well. What kind of guy was George like? I mean, I've talked to other people who knew George, and they said he was kind of a spiritual guy, kind of fun to be around.
He was very spiritual. And, you know, actually I got to know him before I got to know her, and then he invited me to come and live with him. So I went out to work at the house that they had just bought. And because I was living there, Patty and I obviously got to know each other really well. I stayed very good friends Patty and I are still best friends, but with George for years and years. And I think he was extremely spiritual, but he also had a lot of challenges because he had to bear the burden of fame along with the desire to be normal and just to be as spiritual as he could be. So he was conflicted in many ways, too.
Yeah. And so you continue that friendship with Patty Boyd, and you go on when she leaves Harrison to marry Eric Clapton. Do you remember when she told you that? Do you remember when she said, hey, this is what's happening, and by the way, will you be the bridesmaid?
Well, actually, I kind of found out after I had left Friar Park. I went to live in the flat in London. I found a flat for the band that made up the Dominoes, Derek and the Dominoes. And suddenly Patty was visiting with Eric, and it was like, oh, no, this is confusing. And so, you know, I kind of traipsed along with her through it. It was a difficult time, I think. Maybe more for me than them.
I like that. You were like the interloper. You were watching the whole thing unfold. We're speaking
right
with Chris O'Dell, by the way, who's one of the first female tour managers in the music business. Can you imagine? And this, like I said, the stories must be incredible. You've got to read this book because I'm sure it's a page-turner. Okay, so let's shoot a few other stories out there. How
right
about hanging out with the Stones? They were on tour in the 70s, early 70s, and I hear that you had to do something, some sort of a drug run or something for Keith Richards. What happened there?
Yeah, that's what people are calling it. You know, I was their personal assistant, and they were living in L.A. I'd moved back to America at that point into Los Angeles, and you know, I did whatever they asked me to do. And, you know, obviously as an employee, it was, you know, stop at the bank, get me some money, pick up this, get that, you know. So when I went on tour with them and Mick said, would you go get my camera fixed in New York? I went. When Keith said, would you go to L.A. and pick up some stuff? That just seemed like another one of those jobs. But as it turns out, since the book came out, it's been called a drug run. So I suppose it was.
I like that. I suppose it was. I didn't ask a lot of questions. Let's just say that.
No. Just give me whatever you want. Just tell me and I'll be back.
I talked to one of the Beach Boys one time, and he told me a funny story how they had a short period where they were with the Stones, touring with them, I guess, one year. And they said it was crazy because women would throw their underwear on the stage and would be all over these guys. Did you find that?
You know, I don't know when they toured with them. I do remember the Beach Boys with Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young on a tour I did, but I don't remember with the Stones. I didn't find that at all. But, you know, by the time in 1972 that I toured with them, there were a lot of bodyguards. There were a lot of people around. So it was pretty difficult to get close to them as it happened.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, speaking of getting close to them, did you spend any time at all or get any one-on-one time or had any interesting brushes with Mick Jagger?
Mick and I spent every single day together for about a year, and became really, really close and very good friends. And then for a period of time, we took it a little further. We became friends with benefits, as they would call it today. But you know, it was these were the people I hung out with, so this was kind of a natural. It was the way things happened.
Right. No kidding. You know? Well, Mick in that situation, was Mick a lot of fun? I mean, what kind of, you know, you don't know much about him.
Oh, Mick is absolutely, has a wonderful boyish, of course, back then he was more of a boy, but still has that, I believe, a very boyish, you know, kind of impish way about him. He loves to get into trouble. He loves to watch it stir up, and he's fun to be with. I mean, he's actually a lot of fun. I had a great time when I worked for him.
Yeah, no kidding. Who was the best of all these guys? Who did you, musically, who did you personally, because you really got the inside scoop. You were there when they were practicing all that other stuff. Chris, who did you think was the best musician, period, of all of them?
Well, you know, I personally, you know, as far as a band, I was always a Beatle person. And so I really loved the Beatles. That was, and I loved being around them. And their world seemed to be my work, fit more for me than the other bands that I worked for. But you know, Eric Clapton is an amazing guitar player. I mean, it's a treat to sit in his den and listen to him just play on his acoustic guitar. You know, and George Harrison's a wonderful guitar player, and Ringo's a great drummer, and each of those I experienced in situations where it was just casual, you know, and at home.
Yeah. Well, I can't believe it. Amazing stuff. Do you have like a wall of photos somewhere and all these pictures of these guys?
No, I was thinking about this the other day. I did, and I had to take all of the photos out of their frames so I could scan them when we were putting the book photos together. And I thought, oh my gosh, do I have to pay to get all those framed pictures reframed? And I went, no, they're in the book now. I don't have to put them back up on my wall. It's done.
I love it. Well, you were a delight as a guest, absolutely,
thank
here
you.
On America Tonight. We wish you the best with your book. People can pick it up all over the place, Barnes & Noble, et cetera, Amazon.com. Good luck with that, and hopefully we'll catch you down the road a piece and get a chance to talk to you again.
Thank you so much. I enjoyed it.
Thanks, Chris. Chris O'Dell, there she was. Can you imagine? Oh, yeah, I used to listen to Eric Clapton playing his guitar, and then I was hanging out with Mick Jagger, and wow, that's all I can say. So the book is, once again, Miss O'Dell, My Hard Days and Long Nights with the Beatles, get it? The Stones, Bob Dylan, we didn't even go there, Eric Clapton, and the women that actually they loved, because you'd have to say they, not just one of them. All right, coming back in just a few here on America Tonight, Odds and Ends.
This is Big John Lipscomb. World government and all its tyranny is rapidly approaching. The choices you make today will determine your level of suffering and freedom tomorrow. I have two solutions for you, so you and your family can stay strong and free. PatriotFood.com. 135 pounds of long-lasting dehydrated food in 25 varieties. That's one-fourth the cost of many freeze-dried offers of the same weight. And SurvivalistSeeds.com, where I just released my best offer ever. 7,000 heirloom vegetable seeds, 30 varieties of vegetables. That's over 4 pounds of seed, and I ship it in a time capsule so they will last decades. And now you can get a second for a $60 savings. PatriotFood.com and SurvivalistSeeds.com. Anything else is just a copycat.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio? Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Men, are you urinating more frequently? Do you wake up to urinate? Don't ignore your prostate health. See your doctor for checkups and call for a free bottle of Beta Prostate. Beta Prostate is a natural supplement that helps your body support prostate health. Your prostate affects the quality of your life, including your sleeping habits and intimacy. Beta Prostate has plant sterols shown to support healthy urine flow and healthy sleeping habits. And Beta Prostate is so powerful, you'd have to take 100 saw palmetto capsules to get the same plant sterols found in one Beta Prostate. New customers can get a free bottle of Beta Prostate. You only pay shipping and handling. To get your free bottle of Beta Prostate, call 1-800-257-7201. That's 1-800-257-7201. This offer is for one free bottle per household. Call now and try Beta Prostate for free. Call 1-800-257-7201. That's 1-800-257-7201.
Why are you letting that search engine spy on you?
Spy on me?
Yeah. Don't you know Google, Yahoo, and other search engines record all your searches and store them in a giant database? You should use StartPage instead.
StartPage?
Yeah, StartPage.com, the new name for IxQuick, the world's most private search engine. They don't record your searches or your IP address, and the search results are great. Plus, StartPage is third-party certified, and it's totally free.
I don't want Big Brother watching what I do on the internet. I'm adding StartPage to my browser.
Right. Go to StartPage.com and start searching with privacy.
Hello, folks. This is Alex Jones. There are some habits you need to break if you want to hold on to your privacy. That's why I'm inviting you to take the one-week Start Page Challenge. The next time you're about to look something up on Google, Yahoo, or Bing, go to StartPage.com instead. Try 7 days of Start Page and break the Big Brother habit. Do yourself and your privacy a favor. Try StartPage.com for 7 days and start protecting your privacy. That's StartPage.com.
An A to Z product listing, top 20 bestsellers, and 30% off monthly specials. That's just a few of the many reasons why vitamin, mineral, and herbal supplement shoppers visit RippleCreek.com every day. Listen.
I'm a customer of RippleCreek.com and find it to be one of the best companies of its kind in product, customer service, and speed of delivery, and your prices are great.
RippleCreek.com has the full range of discount vitamins, minerals, and herbal supplements in an easy-to-use A to Z listing. Find everything from amino acids to grapeseed plus to our special colloidal minerals formula with over 99 trace minerals. Yes, for women, fun intimacy enhancement cream to zinc. Not sure what your body needs? Click our handy vitamin guide at RippleCreek.com. Choose the low-cost online vitamin store where the internet has shopped since 1996, RippleCreek.com. Type in radio ad, and on orders over $40 this month, get a free bottle of our Grapeseed Plus product while supplies last. Hurry to RippleCreek.com today. That's RippleCreek.com.
Yeah, I'm still trying to wrap my brain around the fact that our last guest, Chris O'Dell, I just hung out with the Beatles. They asked me to sing Hey Jude. I was there in the studio, and I wasn't much of a singer, but Paul McCartney asked me to do it, so, you know, I went and sang. Crazy. Crazy the amount of people that went on to Uber fame that she certainly knew during the time, when they were right in the height of people getting to know who they were, and then it's hanging around for a very long time. You know, the Stones still go on tour. Think about that. And Eric Clapton, of course, same thing. And think of Bob Dylan and his timeline. And, of course, the Beatles and what they went on to individually as well. But how big the Beatles' music still is today, that is just crazy. Matt, I mean, I have to, like, catch my breath here for a second just in thinking about this. You and I were talking off the air. It was amazing to listen to her just so casually, and that's probably why she was part of that inner circle, how as the tour manager or somebody running a studio or helping them, how she'd just be sitting there listening to Eric Clapton playing his guitar.
I know, it just seemed like every person she brought up, it was just another, like, even more famous person. It's just, it was ridiculous. I couldn't believe it.
I know.
I know. Her entire circle of people, it's ridiculous. You know, Clapton, the Stones, Beach Boys, Crosby, Stills, Nash, Dylan, the Beatles, everyone.
Yeah. I mean, and every single one of them, what they all have in common is they're legends in the music business. Every single one of them, not one of them is not.
Yeah, it's all people from, you know, the late 60s, early 70s that just dominated the rock scene.
Right, and then still really went on to survive decades later. I mean, how many tours did the Rolling Stones go on and still go on and they get big bucks for that? They still do tours. You know, every couple of years, you just wonder, you figure, I think Mick Jagger's just going to die on stage. He's going to be 90 and topple over. I'm not kidding.
Trust fund.
Exactly. The kids and the grandkids and the kids of the grandkids don't have to worry for any of these rockers if they're doing anything with their money. That's for certain. And speaking of money taking a big left turn here, I said this at the top of the show, but it just breaks my heart for people that are trying desperately to get an education at some of these universities in the United States. It's just like you have to be brilliant so you have a chance at a scholarship or something else. University of California student increase there, 32% increase. So the cost of an undergraduate education at California's premier public schools is up to over $10,000 a year by next fall and triple the cost of a decade ago. And it doesn't include housing, of course, books, all that other sort of stuff. And this is University of California. And there are other schools that are that much worse. So you hear these stories. And there were students and union members that were out at one of the main buildings demonstrating. They've been doing it for a couple of days, waving signs, we're fired up, can't take it no more, shame on you. In fact, they even had to have police on hand, some of them firing with beanbag firing shotguns, lined up behind these barricades that they were watching over the protesters. That you had board members and staff that were trapped in a building because they were meeting when they released this information. But man, I and think of California just in general. I'll say it again. You'd have to have something going on that would lead you to be able to have an education at some of our institutes of higher learning, and it's becoming more and more unfortunately prevalent. So it's, you got to be athletic, you've got to have a scholarship, you have to know somebody, you have to come from money, something. You have to get incredible grants that you're, of course, going to have to pay back if you even get those. And it's got to be tough in trying to piece this all together. And, you know, in a world where we see where the job market is, so the kids coming out, it's tough. The jobs that normally they could get, they're not getting because you have people with experience that are miles and miles down the road ahead of them and are willing to take a job for that for the lesser pay. So they're more mature, and sometimes they're the better hire. So now it's the reverse. The kids coming out of college are having a tough time getting what would be considered an entry-level job because there's so few of them out there in some of the industries anyway. All right, we're going to hopscotch all over the place because there were some interesting things that happened during the day. Remember I keep saying every time we bring up healthcare, I'm almost sick of bringing it up, except for that it affects every single one of us. It affects Matt. It affects me. It affects all of you, certainly at some level. And the thing I always say, and the thing that I've talked to people about, and we've had them on the show and talked to them about, whether it's politicians or people in the medical industry, how is all this going to be paid for? So, because we no sugarcoating it, how much is it going to cost everybody in higher premiums and all that other stuff? And, you know, the Senate, too, recently the other day, they're supposed to vote on Saturday, thinking they're going to pull an all-day session and then have a vote. They're saying that it's affordable and it's deficit neutral and all this other sort of stuff. So, again, it brings me back around to where is the money coming from? So things like this start to trickle out, and there was a possibility that this was going to happen. But the White House and the Senate Dems have basically decided if you want breast implants, a tummy tuck, whatever it is, Botox or whatever the other procedures are, you're going to pay a tax, a 5% tax. That way they can use that money and they can help pay for the plan to give everybody insurance in the country. So the people who perform cosmetic nips and tucks cannot be thrilled by this. And what about the drug makers? Of course, there's going to be blowback on it. In fact, they have a little nickname for it. It's called Botax. And like I said, you know, this was suggested that it could happen. But because of what the average cost of a visit is, maybe it's $400, which would be low, or higher, it's a pretty easy target, right? Go after the people who are getting the unnecessary surgeries and tax them a little bit more. So if you're a cosmetic surgeon And, you know, you went to school, did the whole medical thing and realized, ooh, this is the route to go because I see my friends that are family doctors and what's happened to them or the others that are delivering babies. So they're talking about a 5% excise tax on elective surgeries and procedures. There goes that eye lift. Sorry, Mom. I'm kidding. She's a beautiful woman. She doesn't need an eye lift. All right, so the plan should raise $6 billion. $6 billion. Now, I guess the good news is for the poor people who have had a burn injury or something else that's happened to them, a car accident, whatever, where there's some kind of a deformity or injury, that procedure would not be taxed. But 5% on top of whatever it is they're paying, I wonder if that would send the middle-of-the-road people backing out of some of the surgical procedures, or maybe not. They want it so desperately that they're willing to pay for it. Because what we found out, and this is interesting, because you think, hey, it's, you know, it's Beverly Hills, baby. It's Hollywood. It's people that have lots of do-re-mi, so who cares? I don't feel sorry for them. But in fact, it's not. In fact, 60% of the people who have cosmetic surgery, I was surprised by this, have incomes between $30,000 and $90,000. And a lot of them really on the lower end of that scale. So if you're making $30,000 to $40,000, 5%, that's a pretty big chunk, I would say. So it does beg the question, should cosmetic procedures be taxed to pay for this healthcare overhaul? And I'm sure there's more things to come in this. So if somebody wants to improve their appearance now, they might not be able to afford it, and it might affect, like I said, might, because I don't know. If somebody wants it badly enough, maybe they still would do it. But it might affect the amount of procedures a doctor sees. Certainly, the tax folks would feel it. They would feel whatever the levy is, I'm imagining, and they would be taxed along with others. But 5%, for Botox, for that nip and tuck, I don't know. I think you have to hit the gym. Forget the tummy tuck thing. More people are probably going to be out there running. Speaking of tummy tucks, this was a scary story that I happened to see. Very sad, I think. You know, the whole idea of kicking back and sitting in a recliner and watching a football game or whatever. Boy, this man had no recourse of anything else that he could do. But at 550 pounds, he was stuck in his recliner, and that's where he died. Yeah. He couldn't get up. He slept and used the bathroom in the chair. Have I destroyed the idea of the recliner for you? And apparently, he would just sit there slowly dying over 8 months. And finally, and this is somebody who lived in Columbia, South Carolina, a guy named Daniel Webb at 550. Finally, they called the paramedics to his house the other day because he was in a lot of pain, and he was physically stuck to the recliner. Firefighters had to cut him from the chair to take him to the hospital. He died a few hours later, his body just covered in sores. So he didn't, and this is what some people will bring up, he didn't have health insurance, and he didn't want help from anyone. So he's a former preacher, and his weight got out of control and just got out of control and got out of control, and then it led ultimately to where he was at that point. I thought that was just, you know, in one of those nip and tuck horror episodes, because they actually had to do that with a woman on one of the episodes they had on one of their shows. But no, this really happened. He would just sit there because he couldn't get up. He was stuck to the chair. Ooh, that's when things are getting real bad across the country, when you have that extreme example. All right, stay with us. Let me flip you the digits, 800-259-5791. Kate hanging out with you here on ATN.
Would you like some of Uncle Sam's money back? you may be eligible for up to $625,000 in HECM stimulus. That's right. If you or your parents are 62 years of age or older and a homeowner, this message is vitally important. Please listen. Uncle Sam has authorized a government-backed program through the FHA called HECM or HECM. It is authorized under the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act of 2009. Senior homeowners 62 or older can apply for this increased stimulus program for free at rmapply.com. That's the letter R, the letter M, apply.com. rmapply.com. Right now, seniors are taking advantage of this program's benefits using the money to pay off debt, purchase precious metals, stock up on storable foods, or make home repairs. But the money is yours to use as you wish. To learn more and see how much heck of money you could qualify for, go to rmapply.com. The application is free. Visit rmapply.com or call for a no-obligation evaluation at 713-551-1155. That's 713-551-1155.
Do you want to get away from additives and preservatives in your food? Need alternatives to conventional food preparation? Do you want to save the fruits of your gardening labor? And are you looking for an excellent gift idea? Then check out the Excalibur Dehydrator. Dehydration is one of the healthiest, most cost-effective, and fun ways to feed yourself and your family. Make healthy snacks like fruit roll-ups and beef jerky. Store healthy food in case of an emergency with no added salts, fats, or preservatives. And save hundreds of dollars by drying it yourself with the Excalibur Dehydrator. The Excalibur Dehydrator comes with an industry-leading exclusive 10-year warranty. And when you order, you'll receive a free book filled with amazing, easy recipes, a $25 value free for a limited time. Just mention coupon code GCN. Learn more and order your Excalibur Dehydrator today at drying123.com. That's drying123.com. Drying123.com. Or call 1-800-875-4254. That's 1-800-875-4254. Season's greetings and health and wellness from Excalibur Dehydrator.
Say no to government vaccinations.
Say no to toxic overload.
Say no to chemicals.
Say yes to liquid zeolite. When you have fatigue, problems concentrating, muscle weakness, headaches, digestion, memory loss, influenza, or joint pain,
the solution may be as simple as detoxifying your body.
Chemical-free liquid zeolite helps the body heal itself so that it can become stronger to fight off viruses.
Why risk government vaccinations?
Liquid zeolite detoxifies the body by safely helping remove toxins and heavy metals, boosting energy levels, and promoting a strong immune system. Liquid zeolite is tasteless, odorless, and so gentle you won't even know you're taking it.
Feel great again in as little as 3 days to 3 weeks.
Liquid zeolite comes with a money-back guarantee, but it's only available at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Learn how to get free bottles of liquid zeolite at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. That's RestoreYourHealthNow.com or call 1-800-976-0025. 1-800-976-0025. 100% natural, 100% safe,
100% amazing.
Try liquid zeolite today.
Tune into the Lifetime Channel. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. One of the old themes from the Oprah Winfrey show. And no matter what you think of Oprah Winfrey, no doubt she has an incredible, incredible audience. Over two decades, she's been on the air. Well, she will be on the air in 2011, 25 seasons. That's amazing, an amazing milestone, certainly. I mean, how much land does she have? How much money has she made as a result of all of this? And here's the scoop. Oprah is going to be off the tube, at least certainly when you tune in, or when women would normally tune in. I'm saying women. Maybe there's some guys that watched in the afternoon or whatever station it was locally, most likely an ABC affiliate. She has trying to set a final date for her last show, and they're going to bring an end to it for, like I said, for over two decades, 145 countries. How many people watch that show? 42 million viewers a week in the U.S. Oof. So they're not giving any big details about what's happening next for Oprah Winfrey, who's, I guess, now in her 50s, 55, I think. But she's supposed to start up another talk show on her own network, which is OWN, and she was supposed to do something with the Discovery Communications Group, and that will debut in 2011. And OWN will replace the Discovery Health Channel, I guess, and gets into 74 million homes, is what I think I read somewhere. So you think, here's what I was thinking. Imagine if you're the person where she airs, like on, let's say, the local ABC affiliate or whatever, the CBS television distribution, because I know they distribute a lot of it. And you've got, I don't know, 200 what they would call markets. Like, you're hearing me in wherever, South Carolina and Connecticut, et cetera. So all over the United States. And imagine the money that will be lost in all of those stations unless, you know, unless somehow they have access to Oprah. But if she's got her own network, that would change all of that. So all those sales people who kick back and they go to the local grocery store or the car wash or wherever and say, hey, I can get you a slot on the Oprah show during the local avails. You can get one of the prime spots and they could just feast on this because of that giant amount of audience. And now they won't be able to do it. So they will certainly have a period of economic shock, I would think. But listen, over the years, who couldn't she get on her show? And the king of talk used to be, certainly, I want to say in the 70s, was Phil Donahue. And then Oprah came along. He ended up getting out of the talk business. But if you stacked up all the talk shows, daytime I'm talking about, women or men, because let's face it, there have been a lot of men who have done the daytime talk show thing. I wonder if Oprah would have had the best ratings of all. Probably, I'm thinking. When you have that many people watching you, it's tough to dispute any Phil Donahue's numbers or Michael Douglas was another guy for a while who was out of Philadelphia who did a talk show. And, you know, there was big moments, things that happened as well during the course of all those years on Oprah. Remember when she gave away the cars? People opened the boxes and they found those keys to a new car. And what a classic moment that was. $7 million to do that. Ooh. And then when some of the people realized, you know, when you get a brand new car, get a gift like that, you got to pay taxes on it. And the taxes are usually pretty huge. But, of course, they paid the taxes. So that turned out to be one of the best talk show gags of all times or gifts of all times, because she didn't really do it as a gag. She did it to help people, but it got very, very big ratings. And then the Tom Cruise thing where he jumped up on the couch and said how crazy he was about Katie Holmes, and people thought he had completely lost it, and that became a big deal. There was the author from the book called A Million Little Pieces, who James Frye, who then said he fabricated part of the story of his addiction and recovery, and she chewed him out on the air on her show, and yeah, there's been a ton of those kind of things. It's funny. I was never a big, because you can imagine, obviously, sports, politics, business was pretty much always my draw. But certainly I've seen the Oprah show, and I've seen clips of the Oprah show. And it's, like I said, amazing, that kind of longevity in the business. Kind of like Lou Dobbs when he was on CNN, although much lower ratings, because certainly not access to 45 million. Whew. Crazy. All right, back to what we were talking about at the top of the hour. We're done with lightening the load from Oprah to Major Hassan, and now what these emails are that's being revealed, what they uncovered, that he was giving $30,000 or more even a year to Islamic charities, and it looks like those Islamic charities were feeding the belly of the beast, in other words, terror activities. So I'll tell you what, it looks pretty clear to me, whether it was on his own or whatever, and whether he's being fed a bunch of stuff from the radical imam, that they've got him on this terror thing. I mean, I don't see how there's much of a way around this. Of course, you have to pull all the evidence. I get that. But it's clear, it's very clear that somebody or a lot of people dropped the ball on this thing. If I were a loved one of somebody who was gunned down at Fort Hood, I couldn't help myself. I mean, with my grief, I'm sure I'd be overwhelmed. But in hearing all this stuff, I don't think I could watch it or listen because I would be enraged that nobody said anything. All right, Jim is listening to us in Baltimore. Hey, Jim.
Hi, are you there?
Yep.
Hi.
What's up, Jim? What's on your mind?
Not much. I'm just in the car right now. I'm just in suburban Baltimore, and I was hearing your discussion all this, the shooting and all that, and I don't know. I've got some concerns, and I want to know your thoughts about it. I mean, I hear you talking about identifying the guy as a Muslim first and foremost, and that seems to be sort of what's dominating the press, and I just sort of see two sort of simultaneous trends going on in the States. On one hand, you've got a president like Obama who's trying to reach out to a lot of parts of the world and parts of society that have sort of been disaffected and, you know, sort of had a pretty tough go of it and consequently have had a pretty bad opinion of America and sort of trying to reconcile a lot of these sort of segregation, a lot of issues, a lot of sort of deeply embedded I don't know if it's xenophobia, but just sort of fear. And then at the same time, I hear the sort of this portrayal of this guy, and immediately he's being identified as a Muslim, and it's a Muslim crime, and it's a Muslim this. But he's an American serving in the American forces. I mean, if he was a Christian and he was giving funds to a Christian foundation, I mean, I don't know if there'd necessarily be the same media uproar that there is. And I think...
Yeah.
I think people are sort of ignorant. I mean, I think it's hard for someone like me to listen and think, you know, that there aren't people claim that we're not having a war against Islam right now, but that seems to be what people are identifying, are picking out. And
well, let me stop you, Jim. Here's what you have to understand, especially in listening to me and what I said. I was telling you what was uncovered by FBI agents, etc., what they're reporting, what's happening with these emails. And again, I'm not saying this Muslim guy. I'm saying if he was a radicalized Islamic jihadist guy, had that on his mind. I think he's a lone wolf guy that was being influenced by a radicalized side of the Islamic faith. And you can't deny that. I mean, if there was radicalized Christians, if there was anybody, I don't care if it was, you know, who it is. Well, I'm not identifying him as saying, screw all Muslims. They're all nasty. They all have links to this. I mean,
I know you're not saying that. But, like, the logic that's at play right here is saying, I mean, it's just very easy to conflate the fact that he was an evildoer and that he killed all these people and the fact that he's also a Muslim. And I think that I think they're mutually exclusive things. I don't think that there's necessarily any sort of, I don't think there's a natural relationship between them, which I think is what's being portrayed here.
All right, I see what you're saying. All right, Jim, I disagree. I think there is a natural, thanks for the call, I think there is a natural tie here, not in the fact that he was a Muslim. I've said this before. I have friends that are Catholic, that are Protestant, that are atheists, that are agnostic, and I have two friends that are Muslim, and they're horrified by what happened at the base. It's very different when you're talking about somebody who peacefully is observing tenets of a religion versus people who are radicalized, specifically using that religion to go after Westerners or whoever. And it's clear, if you connect the dots, it looks like that's what this guy had turned to. Send us an email, americatonight.net.